Okay, let's try it again. Well, what do you know?
Not much, you.
Thank you very much for that. And we got a wonderful show. And let's. Oh, it's already begun.
Yes, in fact.
I love it when my
begun.
Show begins without me. That's probably the best part of the show, I think. This. Well, it's 45 years since either one step for a man or mankind on the moon. And it's amazing, really, how given the technology of the day, they were able to fake that moon landing. Well, anyhow, what do you know?
Live from Columbus, Ohio to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulene on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a diamond-studded interview with astrophysicist David Kaplan, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's not quite ready to reveal what he's 3D printing, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. It's gonna be good, though. That's right. I'm 3D printing it, but I'm making it quite a bit bigger. And I'm going to live in it. What? You'll be surprised. Well, you know, speaking of fake, you know, a fake moon landing and everything, the whole JFK thing was fake, too. Did you realize that? He actually ran off with Angie Dickinson and has been living in Tarzana happily for many years. In other news that isn't, Chris Christie in Iowa blocks all traffic on the Roseman-covered bridge. I mean, personally, he's stuck right in there in that covered bridge. Can't get in or out of Winterset, Iowa. Washington, D.C. decriminalizes marijuana, but it's $5,000 and 5 years in jail for roach littering. So eat some if you got some. Now the high court, huh? Will be. That's cool. We'll see if President Obama's job performance is affected at all by this news. He actually declined to take a puff when he was recently. Where was he? In the state of Washington, I think. Yeah, it was hard, too. Hard to turn it away. Old habits die hard. Let's see. I'm afraid you have stage 12 Tour de France. I was just thinking that. I'm afraid you have stage 12 Tour de France. Which, of course, that's when the latex actually replaces your skin. And the seat, you don't want to know. The Center for Disease Control, a little late. Come on. Let's get seated. Take any available seat, closest available seat. Okay. Get settled in there now. Do you want me to start from the top? I had a really great joke that everyone loved about the JFK assassination being faked. No? Okay. All right. I'll give it to you. You take this with you when you go. Okay? Settled in?
Yeah.
Fine. Bad traffic? Did you try 94 getting here or what? Paddling Portage? Donuts. It's the donuts. You're right. It's the donuts. Every time, it's the donuts. All right, where was I? The Center for Disease Control is rethinking its policy of storing infectious diseases in a sock drawer. But you can still subscribe to the mail-order Toxin of the Month Club, so that's cool. The House proceeds with impeachment charges against President Obama. Right now, their House investigators are combing Hawaii for roaches with his DNA on them. I rewrote this several times, and that's why it didn't come out too good. Energy drink cocktails. They found they give you just enough energy for another energy drink cocktail. And so on. I took a five-hour lethargy earlier today. Because at this point, what am I going to do with energy? You know, give me a break. Facebook has a new purchase button, finally making it possible to buy a friend. So that's a good idea. But Facebook can't buy me love, you know that. So, all right. The Japanese artist jailed for a vagina boat that is being held in a 3D printed cell of her lady parts. I really need more time to work out some of these. They're complicated. They're complicated, and you got to have the background. Otherwise, I sound like an idiot. Big shakeup at Marvel Comics. You may have read about that. I'm sure you did. Thor is now a woman and looks marvelous. Oh, she looks super. Thor looks super. I swear. Honest to God, great. It's such an improvement. I'm actually going to start reading comics again. I really like Thor now. Who knew what her secret weapons really were? Unbelievable. Forget Thunderbolts. This is much better. Captain America is now Captain African America. That's cool. Long overdue. And Spidey hung it up. He's actually not living with a fly. Also in Tarzana. Jeff Goldblum, I think it is, actually. Nice couple. Baseball commissioner and Milwaukeean Bud Selig will leave the post and go back to selling 1964 Galaxies and 500s. That's where he left off. And Oklahoma says,
same-sex marriage, okay.
Bravo! Bravo! Bravo!
We should have gone over that a few more
times. No, you did it. You nailed it. Amazon rolls out a service where for $10 a month you can read books you already have. Kia recalls 50,000 souls. More on this on Sunday. Anyone here drive a soul? What does that even look like? Soul on wheels. He's a soul on wheels. Barbie sales are so far down, she's thinking of having a little work done. See if you can raise them up again. The sales. Raise up the sales again. The real problem, of course, is with all that's out there, she's no longer the impossible dream for girls, you know. Yeah, right. The new Airbus jetliner is so long it can taxi to its destination. A Google smart contact lens yells, help me, after falling to the carpet. Oh, help me. What is that? Oh, that's just my smart contact. Can actually sing Oklahoma, too. Here is a smart contact singing Oklahoma.
Same-sex marriage. Okay.
That's a contact you lose, is what I'm thinking. Where was I? Fiat merges with VW and Toyota to form Axis Motors. Harvard. Well, Fiat and VW are thinking about merging, so. Two-thirds of the Axis, figure it out. Do the math. GM will get around ignition problems by going back to cranks. NASA has opened up rocket competition for the average guy. Anyone can now compete for a rocket for NASA, which means basements will be blowing up across America shortly. Garages on the West Coast where they don't have basements. And finally, here in Wisconsin, Governor President Walker, he insists we call him that now. Governor President Walker calls for rolling back education standards. That's EDJOOKAYSHUN. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. Yes! Oklahoma! Okay! I like your vibrato.
Thanks.
Did you always sing with a vibrato or just
always,
recently?
I came out singing like Ethel Merman.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's your big number? Maybe we can do that next time, work that into the monologue.
Cabaret. I've been asking the boys to do cabaret.
I'll work on that next time.
Yeah, that one.
Hey, come here.
Although that's not really Ethel Merman. That's more Liza. No, cabaret.
So, yeah, no, don't do that one. That sounds like Katherine Hepburn towards the end. Ooh. Pardon me. Oh, we had a disaster simulation in Madison the other day, Thursday. My wife tried to make a dinner from common household ingredients. No! Gonna hear about that one, huh? No, she doesn't listen. No, Camp Randall was ground zero. That, you know, that football phallus they got there? Footballs? Hopefully it is a terrorist target. That's all I can say. Anyhow, so they had that whole thing, and you know, on the first responders, and I slept right. I lived a few blocks. I slept right through it, which means that I can sleep through any disaster. That's really a good test. Excellent. And well, you know what? This kid who works for us here, I guess he's not a kid anymore because he's probably 22, 23, something like that. Martin Babcock is leaving us after a couple years. Here, I think he's been here for a couple years. I'm not sure what he does, but he's that nice young man. When you come in and he has the tickets and
music licensing.
And music licensing, he does all that sort of thing. And he's actually never heard the show because they stay out in the lobby. So he probably doesn't know I'm talking about him right now, but if someone could grab Martin, bring me, I got a little, oh, there he is. Come on down here, Martin, or Michael, whatever your name is. Martin or Michael or Babcock. Sit down. Oh, you got the cards too. That's also you. Who's going to give me the cards, the audience cards anymore?
Well, we've got a new girl for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought you'd kind of step into my shoes.
I thought about it.
Did you? Yeah. I don't remember asking you.
Oh. Well, I
just thought about it. You know, it just occurred to me just now, but I never really thought of asking you.
I thought about it. I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah. Because I never even found out if your name is actually Martin or Michael after all these years.
It depends. Sometimes it's Michael.
When it's Michael, what are you like?
Pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same.
Sometimes, I don't know. I can change from day to day.
Well, who can't? But Martin does not change.
No, it stays the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would I notice it? Who are you now?
I'm Martin right now.
Okay. Yeah, because you seem pretty much the same.
Yeah. You? Well, I mean, you told me that's my name, so. You called me up here.
I just said, I think I said all three of your names. I don't even believe Babcock is your name, tell you the truth. Whoever comes up with a name like Babcock.
I don't know. I don't know. It's ask crazy. My ancestors. It's a terrible name.
So, okay, and you're going to Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to miss you. I have gas money for you from me and the crew. Here it is. Cash it quick.
I'll need it for the moving truck. It's expensive.
Okay.
Diesel
well,
fuel.
Won't cover any of that, but it'll get you to Chicago, but not back.
All right.
So, and if you do want to come up, you just be in Chicago, come up with John.
Exactly. Saturday mornings.
Anytime.
Saturday mornings.
All right.
Every time. Good luck, man.
Thanks.
Thanks for everything. Thank you. Martin or Michael Babcock, ladies and gentlemen. Take the money, cash the check. Don't look back. All right. Good young man. Going into urban planning. What is that? What is that? That doesn't even exist. Ever seen an urban that was planned? Never. Never. Washington, D.C. was
the
last place that had urban planning. Then look at it. Well, look, our guest here got up from Milwaukee. He's an astrophysicist. He could figure out some way of actually circumventing the universe in I-94 and actually getting here. He's with us right now, David Kaplan, who discovered an Earth-like diamond in space. This is pretty big. This goes on Milwaukee's scorecard, I think, for discoveries. Henry Aaron and a diamond in space. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Now, technically, are you an astrophysicist or some other variety?
I am technically an astrophysicist. That's what my PhD says.
It does. Okay. Do you have just the one?
Yeah, I just got the one.
Just the one PhD?
Yeah. Okay. No, I figured it was probably time to earn a living.
Yeah. Are there a few different lines, though? Because I've had someone on here who was not an astrophysicist but should have been, it seemed like, for what they were studying. What other flavors are there in that whole thing?
It's pretty arbitrary. We just sort of make it up. Nobody else can really check us.
Yeah.
If I'm on a plane and I don't want to talk to the person next to me, I tell them I'm a physicist.
Yeah.
If I do want to talk to them, I'm an astronomer.
Ah, okay, that's what it is. So how does that work out? Like
I usually 50-50? Don't like to talk to people on planes.
And you found a what? A diamond in space.
That's right. So
yeah,
we spend our time searching for weird things in space. And most of the things that we find are weird, and they sort of keep me up at night, but wouldn't really bother most of you.
Yeah.
This one happened to be a little bit more interesting than most. So It's the remains of a star that died about 11 billion years or so, give or take.
Yeah, how do we know that?
Well, we know that because...
Are there rings?
Once we get there, we'll start doing some of that. But
11 billion years ago.
That's right.
And it died. I mean, it collapsed?
Yeah, so parts of the star went away, sort of flew off forever, and the remaining bit sort of collapsed down until it was the size of the Earth. So you take...
That small.
Roughly all the stuff that's in the sun right now and squeeze it down to the size of the Earth. And that stuff is mostly, at that time, carbon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take carbon and squeeze it down really, really...
Superman used to do
that's
it.
That's right. That's right. Or Cameron and Ferris Bueller.
Did he? I got to look up your reference now. Could you stop just for a minute? Yeah.
It was discussed. It was discussed. And once you squeeze it down that hard, it's probably something not exactly like what we call diamond, but close enough for government work.
Let's say diamond, because otherwise it's not a story.
Let's say diamond.
We got to say diamond.
That's right.
Zircon. It could be a zircon.
Yeah. I think we're classier than that.
Yeah. But, we had a guy in, a geologist in here, an astrogeologist. No, he wasn't an astrogeologist. He was a geologist. And he brought on, they have the world's oldest rock here at UW. And it's a zircon.
That's cool. Yeah, it's probably about half as old as this white dwarf, though. So I got to be.
Yeah, but I'm saying perhaps that's in space as well. If this actually were to form some carbon thing, it might be a zircon as opposed to a diamond.
Well,
it would be a lot more affordable.
It would be. Well, as it is, you could take this white dwarf and break it up a chunk for everybody in the world, and the chunk would be 3 kilometers across. So.
Well, it's a nice rock you got there, honey.
That's right.
Guess he did right by you.
Yeah.
Look at that, 3 kilometer chunk.
Yeah, who knew academia paid so well?
Yeah. So how does one find, and why wasn't this seen, shouldn't someone have seen a diamond in space of this size?
Well, it's really cold. It's actually really, really hard to see. We actually haven't seen it directly yet. We can only sort of see its gravity.
So you're making this up is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's right. Nobody can check us.
Well, I'm sorry I made the trip for nothing. Around I-94 and everything, getting around it up here. So you found gravity waves that were unusual. Is that what you?
We haven't found gravity waves. What we found is
You haven't even found the gravity wave?
No, gravity waves. If we found gravity waves, I'd be doing a bigger show than this.
Oh. Care to name any?
No. Okay. No, that is a much longer.
So what did you find then?
We found a binary star.
You found a binary star.
We found the binary star, and so one of the members of the binary star is what we call a pulsar, which is something that started out bigger than the star that made the white dwarf, and exploded in a supernova, and left behind something where you take all the stuff that's in the sun and squeeze it into something the size of Milwaukee.
Oi! Must be from Milwaukee. Oi, it's beer, Milwaukee.
That's right. And then you make it spin around 30 times a second.
Milwaukee?
That's right.
Okay, I'm trying to picture. You guys are so abstract. I'm trying to picture Milwaukee, a star, squeezed the size of Milwaukee, spinning around how fast?
30 times a second.
Okay, Milwaukee County or the city?
Give or take, yeah.
Okay, because I know it ends at 60th Street, basically. I should take. Okay.
And
I got that.
And so it works sort of like a lighthouse.
That's a pulsar. It sends out waves.
That's right. Every time it sort of points at us, we get a little blip on our radio receivers.
Yeah.
And these are big radio receivers. We have radio receivers the size of a football field. And so we use one of these radio receivers to find this pulsar. And what we get very good at doing is counting. We can count really, really well. We're some of the best counters around. So we can count the pulses from this pulsar.
Yeah.
Over the course of 5 years.
Can you tell me how many listeners we have right now?
Those are a little harder.
As this goes on. When you work a bigger show, you'll have this all down.
But so we get really good at counting the pulses from this pulsar. And we can get so good that we can predict exactly when the next one should come. And what we find is that sometimes they come a little earlier and sometimes they come a little later.
Well, that's just tired.
Yeah. I mean, that's just sort of life for the pulsar.
Yeah.
And that's because it's orbiting around some sort of mysterious, massive object that we don't know.
So that's when this star comes in?
That's right.
The so-called diamond star?
That's right. So sometimes the pulses from this pulsar come 10 seconds earlier. Sometimes they come 10 seconds later, back and forth every 2.5 days. And so we know that there's
what
something there.
What does that imply then?
we know that there's something there that has the mass of the sun squeezed down into a very small volume.
That's a big assumption, isn't it?
That's a very big assumption.
There could be a lot of answers to that, couldn't there?
Well, there's really only...
Could it be like lopsided when it's spinning?
Well,
or
we see a lot of...
asymmetrical?
We see a lot of...
What if it was asymmetrical?
That's a very...
Like Milwaukee County.
That's right. We sort of have the wake on one side and sort of suburbia
on
the other.
And spinning like lengthwise and then maybe...
Yeah.
That would... different.
Actually, if that were happening...
Yes.
We would get gravity waves. So...
Thought I had you. Thought I had you. And all I have is half a master's degree in English.
Yeah. No, neutron stars are pretty spectacular places.
It's amazing, really.
The center of a neutron star is denser than the nucleus of an atom. We really don't really know what goes on at the very center.
You're telling... We should be high having this discussion. Then I could
Wrong
understand.
Wrong stand for
but,
that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right.
But so we know it's orbiting around something with the mass of the sun. And we know roughly what its size is.
I did have when I was in college. It was here, I'll be honest with you. An astrophysicist dude lived next door. And we used to get high all the time. And he'd tell me this stuff. And I'd say, yo, wow, man. And it actually made sense. Now I'm a little puzzled. You didn't used to live next door to me, did you?
I don't think so. I would have noticed.
Yeah. All right, now, so... It's inferred by all this, but it's by no means confirmed, then, is it?
Well, I think we're sort of taking the Sherlock Holmes approach. There's no other alternative.
There's no.
And it's pretty normal
dog.
To find pulsars orbiting around white dwarfs. What's unusual is that this one is so cold that we can't see it. So it's cold in an astronomical sense, about 2,000 degrees. So sort of hotter than you'd want to touch.
2,000 degrees is cold to you?
That's right, because the surface of our sun
what
is 5,000.
What does keep the room turned up to it? Pretty high, I bet, huh? Okay. She doesn't want to answer either.
She's actually an astrophysicist, too. So.
That usually doesn't work out, two astrophysicists, because you can have conflicting theories.
We do, but we work in different areas. So.
That's good. That's better that way.
Yeah.
All right, so it's cold, it's dead.
That's right.
It's
made of carbon.
It's diamond. We're saying it's diamond. It's diamond.
That's right.
And so, and then now what do we do?
How do we get it? Well, once you develop interstellar travel faster than the speed of light.
Once I do?
Once you do, I will tell you where to point the spaceship.
Okay. You know pretty well?
We know it very, very well.
Could we not send, like this little discoverer that went out and it's still leaving our... actual space now.
That one's going a little slow. This particular star is about 5 quadrillion miles away.
5 quadrillion?
It would take...
What kind of mileage do they get in those discoveries?
Exactly. It's just quarter...
5 quadrillion, so how many light years is that?
It's 867 light years.
Okay, I don't have the time to do this.
That's right. That's why you need to develop warp drive.
But it's the kind of thing that... All right. Well, that's really interesting. See, now how do you... I picture you, you're an astronaut, I figure that you're going at your keys or someplace, and you're going out there and the thing opens up, and so let's see what we got tonight, and you're looking through it, but do you do any of that?
Well, your keys we don't use because it's in Wisconsin, and the weather here is frankly not great.
What do you mean, frankly?
That's right.
Thanks for breaking it to me.
So this pulsar was discovered using a radio telescope. So as I said, it's like a really, really big... radio receiver.
You don't use the optical ones at all?
Well, we did because we had to use the optical.
Mount Palomar, any of those? Any good ones?
Mount Palomar was not actually used for this one. We used a 10-meter Keck telescope on the top of Mauna Kea in Hawaii.
Oh, cool.
So that was cool, yeah. I didn't
nice
actually get to go
too.
There for that one, but I did back in grad school.
Yeah.
So we don't see it, though, is the point of this.
Yeah.
If we saw it, that would mean it was shining bright enough that it would be hot and therefore not a diamond.
You can't see anything that's 2,000 degrees?
That's cold, astronomically speaking.
I know you said that.
We think we can, actually. We're trying with the Hubble Space Telescope.
Yeah, that should do it. And that new one, is there another one? Kepler, one of those?
Well, the James Webb Telescope.
The Webb.
That's going to be sort of the successor to the Hubble Space Telescope, and that would really clean up. But I'd like to get this done in the next couple of years instead. So.
Yeah. Does this discovery get you a bump-up pay grade?
Well, I get a bump-up... but that was actually before this discovery.
Of saying thank you. You discovered a diamond star.
That's right. I'm a state employee, so I take what I take what I'm given, and I say thank you.
Well, that's really interesting. And now, is this? So, what do you do now?
So now we
claim this discovery, because you want this, you want your name associated.
That's right. We have a paper in the Astrophysical Journal, which I'm sure all of you get on your doorstep every month.
Yeah. No, and, I get State Journal, but I think it's similar.
Yeah, it's basically the same. So we have a paper there where we describe this, and then I'm going to a conference next month where I'll talk about it with other people, with the sort of people who do get the Astrophysical
Journal. But
don't
you have to patent it or trademark it or defend it or something or publish it?
Well, it's published. So
it is published.
It's published. There was a referee who I submitted the paper, and the referee said, I believe this bit, I believe that bit, I'm not sure about this other bit here. And I said, yeah, he did.
What wasn't he sure about?
Was it?
What wasn't he sure about?
He was a little bit uncertain about the way that we modeled general relativity.
Oh, yeah.
So you can understand that concern.
No, I totally do.
That's right.
Totally.
So we went back and forth a few times.
There's a lot of dispute about that.
There is. Einstein had some crazy ideas.
Yeah. It was too general. That was a problem, I thought, with relativity. You can't really generalize about relativity.
No, you gotta know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went back and forth.
But that was like, so that was just one thing, but they're more good than bad, and then so
yeah,
that's
right. Sense. And eventually it was published, and so it's a referee journal article, which is sort of the standard for science.
Yeah. Is it, how common is it to discover a star?
Well,
I mean, of this sort.
There are a lot of stars out there that nobody cares about. And you could discover one of them and...
But just say it's diamond.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you're gold.
We know of a couple other sources sort of like this, not exactly the same. So these are, we think they're pretty common. They're just really hard to find. Mm-hmm. You only find them when you know where to look. You could point your telescope and there would be one up there, but you would have no idea of knowing that.
Are there other jewels out there?
Well, carbon is
just
actually
the diamond?
Pretty common in the universe. So yeah.
So you could have any form of...
Yeah, you could have some weird impurities. I don't know quite what color it would be. But yeah.
You could have a glass star, maybe. Could you have a glass star?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, because Superman's father lived on, I think it was largely a glass planet.
Yeah, so...
It sure broke pretty good.
If you had a star that was more massive than the sun, it would produce silicon, and silicon and oxygen make glass. So, and then if that exploded, you could get a little bit out.
Yeah, and your wife looks at it, this is not a diamond planet, this is glass.
That's right.
Well, it's fascinating. And then is there any disputation about this finding?
I think most of my colleagues agree with me. I got some emails from a few of them after I published the paper where they said, you know, I was reading through your paper. I didn't believe it. I thought there had to be another explanation. But eventually, I realized you're right.
Yeah.
So I hope I'm right. It keeps me up at night.
And could this spawn a whole pulsar thing, predicting planet thing?
We do that already. The first planets outside our solar system were discovered around the pulsar.
Yeah.
That was using the same way, just looking at the gravity of these planets tugging on the pulsar.
Yeah.
So that was over 20 years ago. And so we found a number of very weird systems like that since then. Not too many, so not that everyone is exciting, but a few of them.
Are you also involved in this whole looking for Earth-like planets that everyone seems to be doing?
Not directly. No, that's a pretty crowded field. I like to sort of keep to my... sort of little boring corner of the world.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating. I want to thank you for coming up here and doing this. David Kaplan, good luck to you, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Discovery, David Kaplan. UWM. Go. What are they, UWM? They're Panthers. Are they still Panthers? No. UWM is?
Panthers?
Is it still Panthers? Okay. I went there my first year. We were Panthers then, but
you were a Panther for 1 year?
I didn't know if they still are. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Remember they used to have one of the TV...
I'm a Cougar now.
The little TV ads, and they would go, Pulsar!
No. Okay. No. So, yeah. How are you? And
good.
Jeff is going to be doing some stuff. Are you doing anything?
Well, we're both heading into that... horrible closed 94 this afternoon for a gig in downtown Milwaukee, so we're trying to figure out.
You can't
out.
Get there from here.
Oh, you can. It just
you can't. You have to go around the world.
You go the top of Lake Michigan, down
you have to
through.
Go right over the Arctic Circle to come around through the Soviet. No, that wouldn't get you there.
Yeah. No, that's dangerous, too.
Yeah. Antarctic, I think, would be the way to go.
Yeah.
But you still end up going through the Soviet Union at some point. The former Soviet Union, pardon me.
I'll take Wisconsin.
So, and what is this event? Tell us.
Oh, I don't even know. It's not our gig. It's We're hired guns for this.
Jeff, is that what you wanted to talk about?
No, Andy.
No, Jeff's playing at Andy's in Chicago tonight with Mike Smith Quartet.
Okay. That's a paid gig, in other words.
They're both paid.
Yeah. The other one is what? Somebody, birthday party or something? Or
it's a Discovery World. I'm not sure what it is. It's a private event. It's an
Discovery
event. It's a corporate
world?
Event, I guess.
Corporate world?
No.
Corporate world?
It's a corporate event.
It's Discovery at a corporate world event? Okay, that sounds good. And yours is in Milwaukee and tonight. And who's the guy you're playing with?
Mike Smith.
Okay. From the Monkees?
Mm-hmm. Not Mike Nesmith.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What's this song?
This is a song I wrote and was working on this week.
Great.
And it goes something like this.
Okay. Thank you.
listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
So then, do we have a name for that song that was so good?
No, sometimes it takes me a while to get a name that I feel that's right for it.
So okay.
I don't have one yet.
What are you thinking of?
I don't know.
Lean towards?
Pulsar.
How about Diamond Star?
Yeah.
Zircon. No, that's not even as good.
Glass.
Yeah, no, it's very nice though, John. And I do like the way it stopped.
Thanks.
You know, those things always got to stop, don't you think?
Yeah.
For some reason.
Sometime.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Something's got to stop it. That's all I know. No, that was very nice. Very nice. Whatever it's called. Sandy from Windsor, Wisconsin, college instructor. Have you always thought you were funny? Yes, but no one else has. That's been my life trying to prove that. No, actually, when I was a kid, I didn't think I was funny. I just thought I was neurotic. And because I couldn't be, I was youngest of four boys, so I never got a word in edgewise until I was maybe 16 and they all moved out. Then I started saying weird stuff, and I thought it was, well, probably some kind of a mental problem. But one that you could make pay, you know. So if you can make your mental problems pay, then I think you got something going. So all you kids out there with mental problems, similar to that one anyhow. Nervous disorders, I guess is really what it is. Shaina Winrich? Shaina? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I knew I was going to blow it one way or the other. What is it? I was going to say, Shayna next. Shayna is like a Yiddish word, too. Do you know that? Yes. Pretty. Yeah, Shayna Putnam. Yeah, it means pretty face. It's better than it sounds when you say, you got a Shayna Putnam on you. They don't know how to always take. From I Don't Know, What Do I Do Sleep? Very good. Nice attitudes here. Shayna. Hey, I'll let you ask this because I don't understand what.
Okay. I asked.
Stand up here because you're making an old man reach.
I ask why, whenever I name a groundhog, I give it a male name, it turns out to be female.
How often do you name groundhogs?
Very often, actually.
Is that part of your business or trade or?
For fun.
Do you actually have groundhogs?
We did. We have one on the side of the house that had to be removed, and I named it Larry.
And they had to remove Larry? Where did Larry go?
Larry's going to a nice farm where he can live happily ever after.
Is that what they told you?
Yes. Well, they told me.
I think Larry right now is in that drugstore that you drive to. Well, that's the one where they give you cold water and then they have little groundhogs wearing antlers as ornaments. You know the one I mean? Wall drug. Well, I'm sure that's not Larry.
But Larry turned out to be a female.
Worse.
Well, that's the whole story.
That's the whole story. And have you done this more than one time?
Yeah, at school, I found baby groundhogs one day. They're very little and they're cute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you name them?
No, because they all look the same, so I can tell them apart.
Why don't you give them all girls' names? Because 50-50 chance.
That's true. Okay. I didn't think of it.
Do you think you'll go into groundhogs as a living? Or?
I hope not.
No.
Are you,
what year are you now in school?
I just graduated from college.
From college? You should know by now if you're going into groundhogs or not. Here, did you go here?
I went to Rhode Island.
Oh, Rhode Island. That's right. This is this Rhode Island clan here. Okay. And what did you study?
Animal management.
There you go. Shayna, nice to meet you. Animal management. Partly it's naming them. How are we doing time-wise?
You got a few more minutes.
Yeah. Jim Miller, who'll win the British Open. Is that tennis? Golf? Is it golf? Are you Jim Miller? Well, then it doesn't matter, really, whether you think I'm smart or not. What? You're Jim Miller? Okay, good. What is it? It's golf? Yeah. I think that one guy will win. The guy who's been winning all of them. Irish guy. He's an Irish guy. Isn't it? Who is that? Rory somebody. Yeah, is he leading?
He was doing real well.
Yeah. He's pretty unbeatable at this point in history, I think. Even though I didn't know if it was tennis or golf. I have good feelings about Rory McIlroy. He's got quite, and he's young. He's got a lot of years ahead of him.
A lot of years ahead of
unlike some of us. All right. Well, thank you for that question. Straighten that up. Don Madelung, town of Windsor. Is that you? Hey, Don Madelung. He's the president of Madison Media Instruction. He's the president of Madison Media Institute College of Media Arts. And he asks, how do you get in this business? How'd you get your job, really, is really the question. All right, can't answer that one. How are we doing time-wise?
Go for it.
Is it time to go?
Sure.
Okay. There's still more time?
Well, it's a few.
A few? Okay. This is about the Zerk fitting, so it's pretty important. Kurt Zimet?
Yeah.
Is that close?
That's it.
I nailed it. Okay, excuse me. Pardon me. I'm just going to crawl past you here so I can reach the Zimet fixture. Go ahead. I got to get you up here. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
Good.
You're up from
where? Iowa.
Yeah. Whoa, it's an all Iowa crowd. How about that? It's pretty good.
Drag Race coming. They made us get out.
Is it? Is it on now?
It starts tomorrow.
Yeah. You ever ride in that thing?
Are you nuts?
Just answer the question. Don't change the subject.
No, sir. I did not. I have not ridden in.
Don't call me sir either. That's really. That's even. You're just making things worse on yourself.
No, I've never ridden in Ragbri, but it came through my hometown a couple times.
What can you do? There they are. And what is your thing here about the Zerk fitting?
I'm an auto mechanic, and I've used grease Zerk fittings for years, years and years. I never knew the story about where the grease Zerk came from till I read your book, What Do You Know?, which my wife gave me on my birthday.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, it's wonderful. But I was wondering.
What did you learn about that? That it came from Kenosha.
Yeah. But what?
You go to Kenosha, there's a Zerk mansion, and this guy made a fortune based on inventing the grease nipple that's on everything, you know, on cars and stuff. I mean, you can grease them up, they all go through a Zerk. And he owns that Zerk. He owns every Zerk on every wheel.
But what I was wondering is, what do you think the best invention to come out of Wisconsin is?
I have to say it's the Zerk. Simple, and yet it's profound.
Just like Wisconsin.
Thanks. You're a guy from Iowa. I'll take that with a grain of corn. Oh, pardon me. I didn't mean to bump into you there. Okay, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. Come on, dear. This is your big chance. And you are?
I'm Lori Cotlin from Stoughton.
Oh, Lori from Stoughton?
Hi.
What are you doing out there in Stoughton, Lori?
Just hanging around. It's our anniversary today.
Oh, and how many is that then?
11 years.
No, boy. This is going to be a fun one. I'll give this to you. Get out of your way. Here, go ahead.
All right, you ready? The four disclaimers. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own show. Number two, don't know whether to go with an iPhone 6 or two iPhone 3s. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, these are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Hold on. Oh, keep that. Put that in your memory book. Let's see the hands of those of you. No, I don't mean those hands. No, I don't mean a plug. I mean, come on down here because they don't know what to do. Yeah, come on. I didn't mean let's hear your hands. I meant let's see your hands. And fortunately, this man did raise his hand. The only time that's allowed during a radio show to actually physically raise a hand. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Yeah, you look really good. This is you're dressed nice. This is casual, but it's
casual and clean.
Yes. And are you in any sporting events today, this weekend, or anything?
No, I'm not into sports right now.
Are you a runner or a biker?
No, I'm a pool player.
Pool player, yes. Even better. You got something coming up, a little pool tournament?
No. Okay. Summertime. Pool kind of dies off in the summer.
Oh, I guess it does. And you are?
I'm Jim McCauley.
Jim McCauley. And Jim, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I'm here.
That's existential. It's existential. Come on, Jim. Have a seat there.
Okay.
That water is fresh. That water, we picked it this morning.
Thank you.
Fresh this morning. Water. Made from actual water. Hydrogen and oxygen. We combined it for you. And it's there in that cup. Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Is that bothering you? Jim, right?
Yes.
So, Jim, what do you do these days or not?
I am kind of semi-retired woodworker. I build cabinets and furniture.
How can you retire
such.
From woodworking?
Because I'm tired of working.
But are you retired of working?
Yes, every morning when I get up.
You are? I mean, but you still have your passion for wood. I mean, that's a passion as much as a job.
Yes, it's coming back as a passion more. When it becomes a job, it kind of loses its passion, but it's coming back.
I noticed that about, long-term things.
Yes.
Marriage and things. And woodworking. Yeah. I'm just saying woodworking, marriage. So you're pretty good. You look really good. You look really, really fit. And
yes.
Things are going good.
Yes.
What are you
My
doing for kicks?
My life is going pretty good these
now
days.
Now that you got more time, what do you do?
I have a brand new grandson, which I adore. He's 6 months old.
How'd you do that?
I did not do that. My daughter and her husband had full control of that.
Cool. And is it living? Is it
they,
a boy?
They live in
boy
Milwaukee.
Or girl? Can't pardon? Call it an it. Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
Boy. You said grandson, didn't you?
That's right. Yes.
In Milwaukee?
Yes, they
live
in Milwaukee.
You're in Milwaukee?
No, I live in Trevor, which is...
No one knows where that is.
Just west of Kenosha.
Oh, that's right. I remember actually hearing about it.
Down by Salem and...
Near Salem, yes.
Near Bristol, that area.
Oh, I lived in Bristol for
okay.
a while.
Okay, just north of Antioch, Illinois.
Oh.
You lived in Bristol? Did you?
Yeah. Out in the sticks there.
Okay, yeah.
The day camp. I don't want to go into my personal history, but it's all painful.
Well, you were a Panther. We know that.
I was a Panther, and then I was a Tremper High Trojan.
Okay, and now you're a Cougar.
Say it. I dare you. Say one thing about that. Go Trojans. Okay.
My lips are sealed.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
That's
thank
good.
You.
That's great. That's great. And so you're doing that. You got the but I mean, doing anything for kicks or activities? You can't play pool in the summer, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I still play pool some, but it does die off in the summertime.
Are you pretty sure? Like a hustler type? Good.
No, I'm not a hustler. I don't gamble.
I bet you are, because all hustlers
I
never say they are hustlers. I'm a pool hustler.
Anybody
want to
play
hear
for
that.
Money?
You ever hear that? Yeah. And you blow the first few shots, right, and then suddenly. You clear the table.
Yep.
Pretty much how you work?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Jim, you know how this quiz works? I'm out there
and they
call in. And how do they do that, Sarah?
They call 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Here it is. You ask a friend to help you move. The words you dread most, probably, in life. Friend asks you to help you move. What will you undoubtedly be rewarded with? In other words, what will you be paid with? You help a friend move. What are you going to get for all your trouble? That's the question. We'll go to the phones right now. Coco's on the line on I-49 going to Iowa. Coco, did you mean to be going to Iowa, or is that just what happened?
Yes, I meant to go to Iowa.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to Ragbrite.
Oh, are you? Yeah, we got a lot of Iowans here. We're trying to escape it, I think. So, are you going to ride in it?
No, I'm support team. I drive the RV and take them food and pick them up and take care of their stuff.
Oh, how cool. You're on the road right now?
I am. I'm in Kansas City.
Are you driving with your knees or what?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's fine. Coco, a friend helps you to move. What undoubtedly will you reward them with? So what do they get for all their troubles after they move you?
Beer and pizza.
That's it. You nailed it, Coco. You're too good. You're too good. Now... Can we do this while you are actually driving a vehicle? I'm a little worried about
it. I will pull over as soon as I can, but I'm in Kansas City.
Oh.
And so I'll
you don't want to stop in Kansas City, do you?
There's no shoulder.
There's no shoulder in Kansas City. It's unusual for a town. They have no shoulders in Kansas City. So, okay.
Well, not at this intersection of 49, 29, 35.
Okay.
But there will be soon.
All right. Well, pull over when you can. Coco, this is Jim.
Hi, Coco.
Hi, Jim. Howdy.
Okay.
Hello.
All right. And the two of you will collaborate on this quiz. You know how the quiz works, Coco?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do you do this race every year?
Yes.
You do?
But it's not a race. It's a ride.
Oh, yeah. Did I say race? Like my, I meant to say, do you do this ride every year?
Yeah, this is like my 12th, I think.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it is. It's really fun.
And then do you drive along the side of them? Like
no,
they do
no.
in France?
They take off in the morning, like at whatever time they get up.
Yeah.
And then I meet them at noon sometimes, and then I meet them at night.
Yeah.
And have all their stuff, and then we overnight.
Okay. All right, now two of you collaborate on this. We have various categories, and what are those, Sarah?
They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Coco, pick the first one. What would you like?
Science.
Science it is. Neuroscience. In this case, University of Texas, Austin. They mutated worms there in Austin. So they can do one of the following. They can A, crawl standing up, B, not drink as much and get drunk, or C, become self-conscious about their way of life. Worms in Austin, neuroscience.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, talk it over.
Coco, I'm leaning toward B.
For B, is that what you're going for?
That's yeah, like me. Kind of
an
way,
end
yeah.
to drunken worms for
me
all time.
Too.
You're right. An end to drunken worms, finally. Thank you, Austin. All right. That's good, then they can mutate people who can't get drunk either.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And what's the categories left are current events, people, yeah. places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Jim?
School, please. Didn't pay much attention, so.
You didn't? Okay, let's see if you got this one. How many planets in our own little galaxy? This is multiple choice because not everyone has this on the tip of their tongues. There's 100,000, 100 million, which I guess would be a billion, or 100 billion, at least.
In our galaxy.
Our galaxy.
Oh, Coco, what do you think? The middle one?
I'm going to say nine.
Nine.
That would be our solar system.
That's right. You're from Iowa,
and
you think.
And
like
now
that.
It's eight. No, I'm from Missouri. So.
Oh, you're from Missouri. You got to show you. So you know, and you've only seen nine, right?
No.
So that makes sense.
I got that confused with solar system. I get it.
Okay.
I would guess kind of 100 billion maybe.
Did you look at the card?
No,
I saw you looking.
No, I didn't.
How do you play cards when you play? Do you look at the other guys?
Well, I look in the reflection of your glasses.
Down. I forgot you were a hustler. 100 billion, yes, that's
all right.
Right. Okay. We're going to count it anyway. There's some doubt.
It's two right and zero wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Coco, have you parked yet or pulled off?
I am.
Okay, cool.
Got the flashes on and everything.
Cool. All right, did you hear the categories left?
Is it my turn?
Yes.
No, I didn't. Tell me again.
Current events, people, places, or odds and ends?
Oh, current events.
Are you going to be late for the ride?
No, I don't have to. I'm meeting the team in Council Bluffs.
Oh, okay,
I'm meeting somewhere. I have to be there by 3:30, so I have plenty of time.
A new species of water mite was discovered off Puerto Rico. It has been named the following, a Litarod... Latarodna Lopez A. I want to know who is that named after. Latarodna Lopez A.
I didn't get the first part.
Yeah, don't worry about that part. The naming part is the second part.
I don't even understand the question.
Okay, water. You know what a water mite is, don't you?
No.
Jim?
No.
What, have I got to educate you here now? How much time do we have?
Some kind of a bug?
Well, it's a bug, a water bug. It's a deep water bug in this case. It was a new species entirely discovered off Puerto Rico. It's been named Litarodna Lopez A. After what celebrity?
Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Holy cow. You won it. Very well done, you two. What a team they made. And what have they won?
They have won. Jim, you can find out about the happiest place in Britain, if not in the world, in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books. And then celebrate your quiz victory reading I See You Made an Effort, Compliments, Indignities, and Survival Stories from the Edge of 50 by Annabelle Gurwitch from Blue Rider Press. Keep up the good work reading The Land of Steady Habits by Ted Thompson from Little Brown and Company, and take pen in hand with Natalie Goldberg's The True Secret of Writing from Atria, along with Script and Scribble, The Rise and Fall of Handwriting by Kitty Burns-Flory from Melville House.
Boy, really emptying out the closet on this one.
Yeah. Coco, make your everyday a what-do-you-know quiz victory day, drinking Stephen Brew's breakfast blend coffee, and glide through the afternoon with tasty, smooth Costa Rican Terasu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. That's coffee done right. And then expand your quiz-winning acumen with Wonder Word Volume 1, the Wonder Word Treasury Book, a Puzzle Society crossword book, and a subscription to the Puzzle Society online from Universal UClick. Take a break listening to Bill Lepp's CD, Punching the Lard, live at the National Storytelling Midnight Cabaret from Buck Dog Records. Congratulations to you both.
Nicely read. We had a lot of information to get through. Thanks, Jeff. Nice job. Nice to meet you. Coco, hang on. We'll make sure you get that and get you back to that ride. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, Ohio Feldman fans, what do you know? We'll be on the Otterbein campus in Westerville, Ohio.
Otterbein!
On Saturday, August 2nd. Guests include singer-songwriter Lydia Lovelace, Wild Man Coyote Peterson, and much more. For tickets, call the box office at 614-823-1109 or click over to notmuch.com. Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we talk drunk history with Derek Waters, plus all the news that is, thanks for the memos, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man, what am, honey lamb. It's Michael Feldman.
I love it when you smile like that. Can you say that again? Only like in a lower register?
And now the man, what am, honey lamb?
No. I like it the other way better for some reason. Okay, how's everyone doing? Holding up there pretty good? We'll have you out of here in just another hour, so the highway's going to be closed all weekend. So, no hurry or anything, right? Unless you got to be somewhere, do something. Okay, so first of all, we got all the news that is from around here. Each week we have news that actually is, because I tried the stuff that isn't, and that never works. So this is all the news that is, and around here, things around here, basically. We got this one here. It is, again, this 9-year-old in West Bend taking his 4-year-old cousin for a drive. He's a repeater. We've had him on all the news that is around here several times now. They're two West Bend cousins, ages 9 and 4. They were driving the railroads of Washington County over the weekend for the second time this month. Their latest operating without a license incident, the pair stole a car from the 9-year-old's stepfather. These kids are going to be great once they get over this little age thing that they're facing. And took it on a Sunday morning drive through the town of Farmington, Washington County Sheriff's Lieutenant Martin Schulte is said Monday. They wanted to go to a park.
Aww.
Two little boys want to go to a park. A steal granddad's car. I'll drive you there.
How tall is the
4-year-old. 4-year-old does directions. He's the map guy. The riot ended nearly 6 miles later in a ditch. Well, okay. Hard to see over them hoods.
And I don't know if it was a manual or automatic transmission.
I don't know. Let's see if we find that here.
How can the little feet touch the pedals?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the other one worked the pedals, got down there and pushed. I bet they did. Those 4-year-olds are very inventive. The ride ended nearly 6 miles later in a ditch near the intersection of County Highway A and Trading Post Trail. The 9-year-old was unable to control the vehicle as it traveled eastbound in the westbound lane of Newark Drive near Indian Lore Road. Well, that adds to the Indian lore, I'll tell you that. 9:06 a.m. Sunday, according to a motorist who called 911. A deputy's sheriff caught up to the stolen vehicle about 3 miles later as it swerved into the ditch. Neither child is injured. The vehicle is not damaged. So, until next time, we say goodbye to the two little kids whose name we can't say.
Seatbelts? No seatbelts.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah. Last time, had... I'll stop the car in an intersection where they walk and move the keys. Children told deputies that day they had wandered away from home in West Bend and were attempting to go to their grandmother's house on Highway 144. And they got 4 miles towards it. So that was a good effort. So they got to keep trying. Okay. I'm not approving of that, and kids don't do that. This one everyone is talking about. Man accused of trying to kidnap bartender after lingerie night at an Appleton tavern. It's not funny. But it was a great lingerie night up until that moment. Anyone here actually gone to a lingerie night? I was in a bar one time where they were having one, and I left because I didn't really, it made me feel a little creepy. Anyone ever actually been to a lingerie night at a tavern?
I have.
Have you? You have?
Yeah.
What did you wear?
I think jeans and a t-shirt. Is that right?
How was it? I mean, is it creepy? It's creepy, isn't it?
It's not creepy. It's just kind of stupid. It's.
Yeah, but you stayed, and yet you stayed.
I think I did stay. Oh, I think I was working there.
You were the last one to leave, is
no,
what I heard.
I think I was playing there later or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm playing lingerie night.
That's what they called it then, playing.
Yeah. Okay.
And they just want you to people to come and drink. It's just a ploy to get more.
Do they sell the lingerie? You get really drunk and start buying bustiers?
I don't remember. No, I just think you watch the girls walk around and you're supposed to buy more drinks. So that's the whole idea.
Well, isn't that demeaning to women?
Probably,
and demeaning to men, the more you think about it. What kind of guy would do that?
I, at the time, needed really no encouragement like that to buy drinks. But
okay. Anyone else? Lingerie? Oh, sir, yeah. San Francisco, lingerie night would be fun. At least in San Francisco, you'd have some variety. And that would take care of the earlier problem. I think it's fine in San Francisco. It seems to make sense. Yeah. And is this your wife you're with?
No.
Oh, okay. No, she waved me off on that one. That was pretty quick. Okay, so she doesn't care what happened there. But
high school reunion.
Wonderful. You'll probably heard about this already, right? During the reunion time. So it was a good event or fun? You were there visiting?
Last night. Oh, I live there.
Oh, you live there?
Yeah.
And this was last night?
No, it's
what?
We're talking about two different things.
You're talking about two different things. I'm surprised you're not married. What? High school reunion was last night.
Right.
Was lingerie involved in the high school reunion? Not that you know of. Later, you didn't stay for the whole thing, probably. Depends what how old the reunion is. You know, if it's like 50 years, you don't want to see lingerie get cracked out. My God, what a horrible reunion that would be. Oh, no. Okay. So, but in what was the circumstances in San Francisco?
Oh, it was a neighborhood bar in the Mission District.
Neighborhood bar in the Mission District. You walked in there, you heard a commotion, you walked in there, and it was...
taxi drivers who just got off work.
Taxi drivers. Okay. All right. Perfectly fine then. Even men's body spray can't hide pot smell. Racine man arrested. A 19-year-old Racine man was arrested during a traffic stop when he tried to cover the smell of marijuana with X. It sounds like an ad for X. I mean, that's perfect. Charged with operating motor vehicle while intoxicated in marijuana possession. Both second offenses. Oh, dear. Racine County Sheriff, Highway 20, yada, 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 1 a.m. Saw an eastbound car with one headlight. It's because the guy was draped over the other one. I have no idea why. Oh, that's too bad. You should always check your headlights before you smoke Axe. A lot of people are smoking Axe now, I guess, if you had to light it and... Freebase, Axe. I don't know why I'm even talking like this. The deputy pulled over the vehicle, which continued to travel 700 yards before finally stopping. Why did they put that in there? What vehicle doesn't continue for 700 yards when you're being pulled over? This is like, oh, so drunk, you know, continuing onward. Ridiculous. Observe the overwhelming odor of a scented body spray. I like this one. And figures it's Racine, too. And saw the driver trying to hide a bottle of Axe. Body spray, Dix.
Are they illegal? Is Axe actually?
Can you not have Axe in the state of Wisconsin? Next to the center console. Once the odor dissipated, he must have been there a long time. Once the odor dissipated, because that never goes away, that Axe. That takes like weeks before you... Once the odor dissipated, the deputy said he detected the strongest odor of marijuana he had ever. Is that his first day on the job or what? Jeez. Encountered. The driver had slurred speech and bloodshot eyes, as did his two passengers. A police dog helped deputies, so they had a police dog there too, find small bags of Axe and oxycodone and stuff like that. Okay, all right. Now it doesn't get so funny. All right, it was funny up to the Axe. Oh, and just this, the other news from around here, Wisconsin State Fair coming up later this month, right? Later, July 31st, something like that. 72 new foods, 8 of them made with bacon. I think it's a record this year. The bacon foods keep going up each year. So we got bacon caramel corn. Genius. No, I say genius. Bacon-wrapped cheddar melt. Cliche. Bacon-wrapped cherrywood smoked pork belly, so pork wrapped in pork. That's a good idea. Always a good idea. Deep-fried maple bacon cookie dough. What part of that don't you like? You don't like cookies? No, come on. Who does that sound good to? Yeah, you got to applaud or make noise. Remember, it's radio. Thank you. Deep-fried maple bacon, maple cooking dough. Mac and cheese bacon burger quesadilla. Okay. Maple bacon funnel cake. Peanut butter. Here's one for you, John. Peanut butter bacon bison burger.
I like the peanut butter.
You eat bison burgers.
I have. They're kind of dry, though.
Not with peanut butter and bacon on them.
Oh, jeez.
And Tijuana bacon dog. Pretty good. So that's all the news from around here that is. And that's okay. And want a memo, too? We got a memo here. I'll do a memo real quick. Yeah, forget it. We'll get the memos next time. They aren't that good anyhow. Because we have Derek Waters on the line here from Drunk History, which, if it's not your favorite show on television, should be. Great show where they take some of the most momentous events in American history and portray them with a drunken narrator and act it out by people you love to see doing it. So it's just about perfect. And Derek Waters, is the host of that, and he's also acting in many of them. He's on with us right now. Hey, Derek, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. You haven't started tippling yet, have you? Are you a drinker yourself?
I only drink when I'm at work. only when I get paid, I'll drink.
Yeah.
I naturally sound drunk. I naturally look drunk.
You do.
So,
and you're very good at you're very good at working with drunk people. I mean, that's a real skill a lot of people don't have.
It's a very it's patient.
So what?
It's patient. It's much like a lion tamer.
Oh, and you're also enabling them. But for once, it's a good enabling of a drunk person. You get them drunk, and then who picks which people do the narrations on these events?
Me, I do.
You do? So do you know all these people? Who are they?
They're people either I know in the community and the comedy community, or that I've heard that are funny. Mm-hmm. And not just because they're funny, I pick them because comedians just know how to tell a beginning, middle, and end of a story. And, you know, people that aren't performers, it's very hard to tell a story. So, and especially intoxicated.
Yes.
So, and they look at the story, and then they try to remember the story.
Yeah, and are they schooled in this first, or do they happen to have these particular passions, such as, you know, the Nellie Bly story?
JD didn't know of Nellie Bly, but he loved the story. Like, I give them a couple of choices of what stories, like, we're interested in doing.
Yeah.
Some of them already know about it. Some of them come to me with, like, oh, I got to tell you the story. And and we just go based off of that. But yeah, they have to be passionate about the story or the show wouldn't be interesting.
Yeah. And you know, Laura Dern in that one, that was, like, I think maybe my favorite one so far.
Really?
Yes.
Have you heard of Nellie Bly?
No, never heard of Nellie, but I've heard of Laura Dern. But I thought she was so great in that. And it was actually quite sympathetic, you know, and besides being drunk, told by a drunk, you know.
Well, she wasn't drunk.
No, but I mean, it was a tale told by a drunken fool, basically. But it was
really,
it was a good story. And Laura Dern actually brought it to life under the conditions that, you know, this woman who was sent to a mental hospital. But she did it to expose what was going on in those hospitals. This is back in was it Pulitzer?
Late 1888. Yeah, Joseph Pulitzer.
Yeah, and he funded this whole thing. And who played Pulitzer in it?
That was Matt Walsh.
Yeah, Matt Walsh, of course. Yeah, from Veep.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's great. He was perfect in that. But that was such a good one. But yeah, we have a little. Can we play this little? We have just a little clip here of this is the Lincoln one. Would you mind if we play that just to get people?
Of course.
Okay.
No, thank you.
Yeah, give people a taste.
And from this guy Westinghouse, like, gave him money to start like working on.
Wrong one. That was AC/DC.
This idea of alternating current.
Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla.
So Edison didn't like the idea of alternating current because he owned all the patents on direct current.
That's okay.
Alternating current. What?
No, you can play that one. That's fine. That was also interesting.
As the...
Or not. We have a drunken engineer.
Abraham Lincoln, I am Frederick Douglass. I am a former slave who... And he's like, shh, I get it. I know. I know who you are. It's been explained to me. I've been following your career forever. Be quiet. I'm into it. Let's talk.
That's
I'll do
Lincoln.
More about him, but I will lay down. My legs are showing. I wanted to lose weight before this. Wait, don't show. It's too white. But the thing about Richard Dreyfuss, what is his name? Frederick Douglass. I knew it was something similar. The thing about Frederick Douglass, they were good friends. And he and Frederick Douglass remained an advisor to President Clinton for years. And word gets back to him like, Abraham Lincoln is dead. Why do I feel like I didn't take my pants off or anything, did I? Because I feel like I don't have pants on. Oh, because I'm in a dress. But there wasn't a way I took my pants off. Okay, good.
And from this guy Westinghouse.
We'll save Westinghouse for another time. So that was. And who was the woman doing the narration?
That was Jen Kirkman.
Jen Kirkman, yeah.
She is the queen of drunk history.
Yeah, she's been on a couple of different ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing...
she's in the season finale this year, which is about all first ladies.
Okay, about the first ladies?
First ladies, yeah.
Okay. And she, the thing about her, did I take my pants off? Is there a subtext here that we didn't quite get? Because that sort of alarmed me. So she thought she had pants on.
Did I take my pants off? No, just realized that she had a dress on.
Yeah, she forgot she had a dress on. Okay, that's understandable. Under the conditions. Now, have you had some where your narrator was so drunk you couldn't get a story out of it?
Oh, yeah. Many times. One jumps out that we just had to redo. We had to come back to her house as a different girl. But she got way too drunk, put on a bathing suit and wanted to do the rest in the bathtub in her bathing suit.
Yeah.
He just, I said, there's a fine line between funny and sad, and this is just sad.
It's not such a fine line either, I don't think, really.
Mm-mm.
No. And but actually, you were in a bathtub with a guy on another one I saw recently.
Right.
So where's the fine line there, mister?
Well, I wasn't in a bikini. There's something different about a drunk girl and a drunk guy.
I know.
I feel bad for a drunk girl more than I do a drunk guy.
That's true. But it was still disturbing because this guy wanted to take a bath with you right in the middle of the... I forget what story that was.
Nellie Bly.
Oh, that was still Nellie Bly? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she had to do.
Yeah. And are there parts of that we didn't get to see?
Oh, yeah. Parts you'll never see.
Well, that's
no,
a good thing.
It's a thing that you film a drunk person for 5 to 6 hours. There's going to be a lot of stuff that you got to throw away.
Yeah.
And as my grandfather used to say, keep a smile on your face and your big mouth shut.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just try to do that. And
yeah.
Do the best I can taming these lions.
Yeah. How drunk are you right now? I don't care. This is not just, is this just your personality? It sort of goes like this?
Yeah, it's the most common thing people have always accused me of.
Yeah. So you were perfect for the show. They said Derek Waters immediately, right?
I created it. It was my idea.
Oh, so. You did? Okay. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant. It's the most reprehensible thing that turns out to be brilliant that I've ever heard of.
I don't know what that means, but I'll take brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of getting people drunk and then having them do anything is reprehensible, but it makes the best television I've ever seen. Plus, the actors, I mean, people must be falling all over themselves to play these parts.
I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week's going to be Baltimore, which I'm really excited. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will be in there.
Yeah.
Jesse Plemons from Breaking Bad. Martin Starr.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the whole season, Courtney Cox is in one of them.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky with people that want to come in and move their lips to drunk people.
Yeah, and Will Ferrell's been in, and Kristen Wiig played
that's right.
Patty Hearst. That was also my favorite. I guess I have several favorites here. That was amazing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, she was amazing as Patty Hearst. It was so perfect.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Kristen Wiig.
No, and the whole setup was just ideal for her. And, I mean, also, you had, like, possibly the only funny Haymarket riot ever.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't, what riot was funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can make a riot, attempt to make a riot funny.
Yeah, the only one ever shown on television that was actually an amusing riot. But I always think, like, Studs Terkel, I used to know a little bit, was always talking about the Haymarket riot, you know, like turning point in labor history, among other things. And I was glad he wasn't here to see it. He would have been really seriously distressed at that. But I liked it. I like it.
Do you
hear from any of, like, historians or the principals? I guess you wouldn't hear from Lincoln so much, but...
Lincoln sends me a text every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. But are some people...
No, I've stayed in touch with Why I Love History, my history teacher, and he was my favorite teacher because he didn't teach, he talked to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from him, and he's been very complimentary of making history fun,
yeah.
You know, which, let's be honest, in school history is pretty boring.
Yeah.
So
not when they're drunk, though.
Yeah. Well, it just distracts you. But all the for being drunk, all the things they do say, the facts and the events are 100% true.
100% true.
The dialogue is obviously not.
Yeah.
But the events and the dates are all true.
Yeah. Do you think there's any tendency that would people who make history, for them to want to be drunk now before they actually do certain history-making events?
Do you think what? Say that again?
Oh, never mind. Not a real question.
I'm guessing what you meant is do you think I'm indulging, like, people that now are going to want to drink?
Yeah, like history makers say, I got to have really, like, 6 or 7 vodkas, and I'm going to make history.
Well, if they learned anything in the show, besides the story you'll see at the end, they don't look too good.
Yeah.
You know, they don't end well.
No.
Drinking never ends well. And yeah. Every single morning after we film, I get an email from the narrator apologizing. I'm so sorry. I didn't tell the story. I'm so sorry. Like, I'll do it again. Like, I didn't do it. Which brings us back to what we should always remember.
Yes.
Alcohol is a poison.
It's a poison. But it's been good for you. You know, it's a poison that's good for you.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Without it, we have no career.
Yeah, no career. And are you appearing in more of them than you originally? Because I seem to see you in all that you're turning up. Usually bit parts, though. Small parts.
Yeah, well, I'm being the host. I can't be in. I don't want to be in everything.
No.
And in the Baltimore one, I'm hardly in because I directed that one.
Oh. That's your hometown, right? Baltimore's your hometown?
That is my hometown.
Yeah. Cool.
But I've been to Wisconsin many times. Madison.
Yeah.
I love.
Yeah. Yeah. And we love
I'm
you.
A big Chris Farley fan.
Chris Farley, yeah. Right. He's right from my neighborhood. Because I saw you as Ben Franklin's friend. So weren't you Ben Franklin's friend in that one?
Right.
Jack Black.
Yeah. Cheated on my wife. Yeah.
How did that work exactly, cheating on your wife and being Ben Franklin's friend?
Well, it's Jack Black.
Yeah.
He was, Jack Black's the one that wanted to continue it. He saw the Michael Cera one and said, I want to be Ben Franklin. So
yeah.
That sort of kicked everything in gear.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never a plan of it becoming a show.
No.
Comedy Central was very, very nice and said, we want to make it a show and
mm-hmm.
keep the same vibe. And
yeah.
They have. And they've been very good to us.
Yeah. Casting has been good. I love Danny McBride as Washington. That is classic casting.
Oh, no, thank you. He can't go wrong with him either.
I will always look at Danny McBride and think of Washington from now on. That's pretty amazing.
If you can look at Danny McBride and think of Washington, that's pretty crazy.
He's
might be drunk.
Yeah, I might be. I might be. Yeah. Well, and Johnny Knox as Johnny Cash, that was brilliant.
Yeah, and he'll be back. Johnny Knoxville was so good, and he'll be back in 2 more episodes playing Preston Brooks in The Caning of Charles Sumner.
Ah.
I don't know if he's that story.
Okay. And I like that music one. That was just a recent one with Chris Christopherson. From
yeah.
Ashtrays to Windshield Wipers Slapping Time. That was real.
I love those two.
Yeah. Who played Chris Christopherson on that?
His name is John Daly.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Yeah, that was terrific. And it seemed pretty authentic, too, actually. Especially the helicopter landing on Johnny
Cash. Yeah, it looks like a real helicopter, right? Your audience should see it was just a toy helicopter.
Yeah, the best drunken effects you can imagine for that. And my other favorite, the whole Statue of Liberty thing, where the French tried to give us the Statue of Liberty and we wouldn't take it. It was a wonderful story.
No, we wouldn't accept a gift. That's the way they keep stressing. I know, you don't understand, giving you a gift.
And they couldn't get Congress to take it because they were French. They didn't want anything from the French.
I can't repeat what they say, but they call the French a couple of things.
Yeah. Je ne sais quoi, something.
Right.
Yeah. And playing, once again, that was, is it Killiam?
Taron Killiam?
Yeah, Killiam, that's right.
From Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah, he's one of my dear friends, and I think one of the funniest guys. Definitely the funniest guy on Saturday Night Live right now.
Yeah.
With Kyle Mooney. And, he's great. I'm glad you like the show so much.
I do. No, it's fabulous. And then I also like this guy, it was storytelling that one about the Statue of Liberty and how the French wouldn't take it from him, and it was a gift. And then they finally took it, but then they didn't want to build a pedestal for it because I was asking too much. It was very funny, but the guy who was telling the story actually made a model of the Statue of Liberty out of Play-Doh while he was doing it. It was classic. And then you got him to eat the Play-Doh because you said you ate Play-Doh when you were a kid. This is talking to a drunk guy.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I loved, well, like mom Play-Doh, not like the corporate Play-Doh they make now.
Yeah, no, right. So your mom made it. Yeah.
Like mom Play-Doh, like flour and oil, like coloring, you know?
Right, mom Play-Doh. I forgot about that. It was even possible. Well, that's
but
great.
Yeah, I used to eat paper. I used to eat paste. I was obsessed. I was just really hungry as a kid. They didn't feed me.
That was the only time I thought maybe you went a little far in handling it. We actually got him to eat the Play-Doh, mom's or otherwise.
Well, it's all real.
Yeah.
I would have done that without the camera.
Yeah. The other times you've been very, I think you've been enabling and reassuring and so forth, but you haven't abused your position.
So until then?
Until you made him eat the Play-Doh. I thought that was going a little far.
Not taking a bath?
Well, that's your business.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah. I appreciate the critique.
Yeah.
Also, you know, that's the same narrator as Jack Black. I don't know if you knew that.
What?
That's the same narrator as the guy from the Jack Black one.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, he's good. And who is that?
Eric Falconer.
He's very good.
Yeah.
And a very sincere guy. Very sincere.
Very sincere. Yeah. He's a daddy.
Well, that explains it then.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Derek, I'll let you go here because I know you got a whole day ahead of you and you're probably, are you getting ready for, you're all done filming and everything, right, for this year?
We're just editing now. We have two more episodes to edit. There's 10 this season.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you, Derek, and congratulations on a tremendous drunk success.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Derek Waters, ladies and gentlemen.
Drunk
history. It's like all history is drunk. I know what you're saying. Honestly, I was so appalled by it when I first heard about the show. I was actually offended. You know, I think, drunk history. I mean, people are drunk and they're doing a show. And then I saw it and I'm like, God, this is unbelievably funny. You know, it's opposed to all my ideas about human behavior.
Really?
No. But, you know, plus everyone thinks they're funny when they're drunk, you know. Yeah. Nobody is. Yeah. But this is hilarious. Yeah. Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
I heard another interview. He's very careful, though. He has, like, he does it at their houses, and he has, like, EMT standing by just in case anything would go really far off.
And paddles. So. Yeah, paddles. In
paddles?
Case.
Corkscrews.
Okay. All right. So are we writing a lot of music lately?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Sometimes you just think, I don't know what to play, so I probably should try to think of something. So you write something.
Some of it sounds like Family Guy, but I don't know.
Well, we played that one.
That's just me. you did.
Because it was Family Guy.
I don't know what their theme song is.
But I did not write this one, so.
Okay.
This is Moonlight.
Tell us about it.
It's just a standard that we kind of like to play. It's got kind of a slightly different form. But
And it's called Moonlight.
In
Vermont?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful song.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Bye.
Play with my microphone.
How are you? Pretty good then? Everyone? Oh, are you sleeping? I'm sorry, did we wake you? I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Big night last night. Were you out? And, yeah. Something good? Well, let's find out about it then. Let's see. Since they got asleep here, I'm curious. I really haven't plunged into the audience in a while here. Where are they? Let's find out why they are sleeping during my show. I think something. Hi, how you doing?
You good?
Yeah? Yeah, good. All right. Did you do anything last night?
All right. Yes, I did.
What did you do?
Oh, I speak with my wife.
You what with your wife?
Talk with my wife.
Oh, you talk with your wife. Is that unusual? Is that why you mention it? Don't you usually talk to her?
Well, at night, that's kind of unusual.
Oh. All right. What's your name?
Oh, Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
Matthew Opaleke.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
What's your field?
I'm a research chemist.
But I don't exactly know what that means. I saw your card, but I said, research in what? What kind of chemistry is that?
That would be nutritional chemistry.
Oh, cool. What are you working on right now? Is it secret?
Not really, but the names of the company is secret.
You can't tell me what you can tell me what you're doing, but you can't tell me the name of your company?
The name of the companies I work for.
Yeah. Ralston Purina?
Well, getting warmer.
Is there a general in the title and maybe a Mills at the end of it?
Like I said, it's really warm.
You can kill me if you have to. I want to know who you work for. No, that's all right. I understand that. It's all because that's all closely held research, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Right.
Sorry to bother you.
That's all right.
What did your wife have to say? Anything important?
She's next to me. You can ask her.
Yep, said, come here. This is
it's unusual that he talks to you. He mentioned that. I said, what did you do last night? I talked to my wife.
He was gardening last night, so we do talk to each other at night.
It seemed to him like it was an unusual event because of like an activity. I was talking to him. Well, nice to meet you both, all. And then, okay, we're down here. Here's the couple. You're sleeping so cute together. Come on, can I get you to stand up a little bit? Shake it out. Shake it out. Well, so what were we doing that was so much fun?
You know, drinking.
Pong. Drinking? Yep, playing beer pong.
Beer pong?
Yeah. Yeah, then we got out to a bar. Nice cocktails and whatnot.
Got steak fries.
Steak fries.
Yeah.
What a nice, quite a night.
Yeah.
We had a Sazerac and a whiskey sour.
Holy cow. How old are we, anyhow?
I don't remember. You know.
25.
Aren't we a little old for this college behavior that you're exhibiting?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
fine.
I
don't. You gotta stay young.
You're pushing it now. You know, 25, still doing the beer pong. You know.
It's fun.
No, I'm just saying. I think it's
play with us one time.
No, I'm just saying, you know. So that's cool. You do beer pong at home?
At his house, yeah.
At his house,
yeah.
Before going out, you do beer pong.
Well, he lives in the basement.
That's adult.
Of a frat house.
That's adult. Wait a minute. You live in the basement of a frat house?
Yeah.
Perfect guy. You met the perfect.
Oh, come on.
What are you, like the frat father now, or?
No, just.
You just live in there?
Just live there.
That's every guy's dream to go, you know, actually live in your old frat house. That's perfect.
It's like that Will Ferrell movie. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's great.
What do you do during the day then?
Drink. No, I'm just kidding.
Job or anything?
Yeah, I'm a software developer.
Well, that's perfect setup then.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing these days?
I'm a library assistant.
Library assistant?
Mm-hmm.
Little do they know when you walk in the library.
It's a party.
Yeah. And you are? Your name?
Cameron.
Brian.
Fun couple. You win the fun couple award. What do we have for the fun couple?
Wine?
What?
Can you play wine pong?
Wine pong? What do you do with a bottle of wine?
It's too nice to play with beer pong.
Drink it and then spin it, I suppose. Okay, well, is that wine?
Yeah, how about delicious fine wines from Wisconsin, from the Wollersheim Winery?
Because I know they'll use it well. Okay. All right, we got Lisa Winrich. How much of that is right? All of it? Oh, it's the same family talking about. Okay. Why did my son's eyes change color when he got his first haircut? I mean, how close a cut did you give him? It might have been just. Is he here? Is that him? Is that you? Do you remember? Excuse me, I'm going to try and can I get you to stand up here and lean over towards me. I think would be the best thing to do. Do you remember the incident?
Well, I couldn't see what color my eyes were before because my vision isn't that good, hence the glasses.
Yeah, okay. So what color were they before that you were told that they were? They were blue. You never talked about this? This is something that really a therapist. And if you want to do family therapy, maybe all of you should be there.
Well, there's a theory that if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. So I guess my eyes aren't really there.
What are they now? Are they brown?
I can't see them.
Are they brown now? I can't quite see. Hazel. You went from blue to hazel because of a haircut. You know the ramifications of that? I mean, on a Freudian level?
No.
I don't either. I have no idea. I'm just making this up as I go along. Okay, but it's fine now. Why did that actually happen?
Yes, it did.
And do you know why?
I have no idea.
That's why you asked me. Is hair color changed?
Yeah, it used to be blue, eyes, black.
You got baby switched at some point. Something happened. Okay, well, he looks fine now. That's the important thing. So congratulations to the Winriches. It all worked out. Just be aware if you're giving your baby a haircut. How you doing, Nan? You got something planned for today?
Just a lot of relaxation today.
Yeah. And what did you do yesterday?
I drank beer, too.
Yeah, me too.
Relaxing from all that beer drinking, huh?
That's right. A nap is in our future.
Yeah. What were you guys doing?
We were out drinking Belgian beers.
Was it a Belgian beer tasting? Or was it a tavern?
It was a tavern. It was a tavern.
If you call it a tasting, it's deductible.
Mm. Mm. Good to know.
Yeah, next time we'll do that.
And tonight, what's going on?
Maybe more of the same.
Maybe.
Switch from Belgian to something else?
Scotch ales.
You're here for the Drunken History interview?
I know. I'm going to look that up when I get back home.
Me too.
Yeah.
You should be on it, really. And you're?
Danielle.
Jeff.
And Jeff. Okay, you can't win the bottle of wine. You already gave it away. I'm sorry. A lot of people with hangovers in the audience here today. How are you doing? All right? Clear-headed?
Sadly, yes.
Sadly. Oh, sadly. But tonight you'll make up for it?
Maybe.
Okay. Better not. They don't need to hear that, okay? Lori Kotlin, Stoughton.
Oh, Stoughton.
How come you never return my calls? Oh, hi. Yeah, well, you know, I thought it might be you. Here, stand up here. What?
My number on the Wanna Play the Quiz for since I lived in Chicago.
Oh, I thought you were calling me personally.
No.
I would see that. I would probably screen you. If
probably. Probably.
At least I would have known your name. Oh, God. Lori's calling again.
Oh, again.
It's just to play the quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I'm in there somewhere. Okay. Someday I'll get a call back.
Yeah. Maybe we can work you in the next quiz coming up.
That'd be cool.
Cool. Yeah. Then you'll stop calling me. It'd be good. It'd be worth it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Where do you get quarters for the terrace parking meters? David Moan, St. Paul. What do you mean, where do you get quarters? What does that even mean? Where do you get quarters? Where do you get? Well, welcome to 2000 and whatever year this is. There are still not quarters? Come on. Well, stand up here. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we're here with a group, and we have a...
Oh, God. Are they all loud Iowans?
They're loud Iowans and Minnesotans.
Oh, Minnesotans. Yeah. Explains it.
And we had a big van with a carrier on top, and it wouldn't fit in any of the parking ramps.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so it was on the street for an hour, but your show lasts for 2.5.
You can say that again.
Yeah. And
sometimes.
So we finally got in up on top of the Monona Terrace, and it only there's a little meter there that only takes
a long story, quarters. But it's worth it.
It only takes quarters.
We
couldn't find it.
Give you what I got.
Okay.
Kleenex? You need a Kleenex?
No, I don't need that.
It's four quarters.
No, that's fine.
Four quarters.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, there you go. Oh! We had a church group come here one time, and the pastor was driving, and they got stuck in the ramp, because you can't really, it's pretty low. So they got stuck in there, so the pastor had to stay out, and his parishioners came in and did the show with me. But I think he's still out there somewhere. You might see a van stuck there. That's him. All right, thank you very much, all of you, and you're welcome on those quarters. Just give me a receipt when you get a chance, and we got, I just about have to let you do the quiz now, right?
I would love to.
Because, you were. Are you sure? Isn't that sweet? Because she did have her hand up first. Well, are you going to keep calling then anyway? Oh, okay, I'll keep calling. All right, come on here to the album. Very giving. You're a giving person. This is important to you, too, isn't it?
It's all about pattern recognition. I knew I had to raise my hand the second you were done with the question.
That's true.
I was ready.
And you are?
Dina Marie.
Dina Marie?
Dina Marie.
Isn't that pretty?
Oh, thanks.
You should be a singer or a dancer or an ice skater.
Instead, I'm just a doctor.
Just a doctor. Never say just a doctor. Just say only a doctor.
Only a doctor.
And what is your field?
I'm training to be a surgeon.
Who are you? Oh, cool.
That's, I like it.
Big bucks.
Yep.
And you're giving to mankind, and you're making big bucks.
The only job you can cut people intentionally.
Yes, that's true. You're kidding. Okay. You're not going to be joking during the surgery, are you? Because this is going to be... Dina Marie, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I mean, I got into med school somehow. I'm hoping I know at least one answer. So.
All right. Because she got into med school. We never had that one before. Come on down here. Please. Doc. Dina Marie. Have a seat up there if you would. That's not good anymore. Oops. Oh, God. Everything got wet in there. There we go.
This has been a whole month of public radio.
Yeah? What else?
Got to see Radiolab in New York.
Oh,
and
you?
I saw Ira's big stage opera extravaganza. Yeah. So it's pretty good.
Extravaganza. Yeah. Oh, cool. Did you?
Oh, it was so good.
Oh, I would love to have been there, but it never occurred to me to go. Let's see. Left, right. Okay. I got it. Okay. So you're all public radio all the way, huh? All the
big
time?
Big fan.
Big fan. Okay. And do you ever call in? Any call-in shows? Or
I don't, but when you're on call all the time, there's not a whole lot of time for TV, so you can do podcasts online, and it works out.
So now, are you legally a doctor now?
No, I'm still in training. So
you're still in training.
Can't legally prescribe you anything, or
no, that's not what I was asking. But could you look at this? No, that's okay. Don't look at that. So then, how are you?
Doing well.
Yeah. Is how hard is medical school?
It's a little tough.
Is it tough? Because I have two brothers who went, and one brother chewed all his nails and then started chewing the ends of his fingers, and it was down to his knuckles by the time he.
I had a friend who ate nothing but carrots for 2 years, and she actually turned orange.
And she's practicing now, right? She's perfectly fine.
She's in dermatology, actually. But she's very good.
She's very good, right. And so what year are you now, then?
I have another year left in medical school, and then it's 5 years to be a surgeon.
5 years. Why does it take so long, really? Butchers only like trained for about 18 months.
Yeah. Their patients aren't alive at the end of it, though.
Same principle. Well, I mean, don't trim the fat on someone usually, unless that's the surgery. I'm looking for a fat trimming or something.
Hopefully you're not going to do a lot of those.
Did you always want to be a surgeon?
Yes.
When you were a little kid, you did.
Yeah,
find yourself.
A lot of backyard animals that I would find.
I didn't know how to even get into that. I always wanted. Well, that's really amazing. That's terrific. And then so last year, this is what, how many years? It's 3 years?
Yep, 4 years.
4 years. And what's the fourth year mostly?
Mostly interviewing for residency.
Okay. So you get your cadaver year one, right? And then is each year like some of us are different training or is this?
So I'm actually on a little bit of a longer program because I did research, so I have 6 years total, but. The first 2 years are all studying, and the last two are all clinical time, and then I had some research in the middle.
Would you be happy if you never actually got to it?
No.
Like you did all the training, and then all the residencies, and all the internships and residencies and stuff, and just make a career out of training to be a
being surgeon. A student. Yeah, that's what PhDs are for.
That's a PhD. What was the research you were doing?
Healthcare finance, so how to do surgical services for in a more cost-effective way.
Huh. Oh, so about both ends of the needle, of the knife, I mean, of the needle. Okay, it was almost a good saying there, but I didn't say anything. All right, so you know how this quiz works? Someone out there plays along with you?
Yes.
Are you from around here? Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm Madison native. I went to West High.
You did? West High. That was our school. Regents.
West House.
West House. Whose house?
West House.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic. Someone that plays along with you, and how does that work in there, Sarah?
And people who want to play the quiz at home, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
I do? Okay. Well, then.
Is it another Ragbri person?
okay. Out of 10 people, how many are late for work at least once a week? This is 10 people. Out of 10 people, how many are late for work? Think about yourself. Think about people you know. Think about your employees. Late for work at least once a week out of 10. That's if you can nail that, then you qualify. And we're going back to Tom here. He's heading back to Kentucky. Tom, where were you that you're heading back from?
Well, we just left Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, heading back to Kentucky. We're somewhere in North Carolina.
Yeah. How was Myrtle Beach?
Let me just say this. I'm not a doctor, but I did spend the night at the Holiday Inn Express.
Very good, Tom.
I'm here all day.
How was Myrtle Beach?
Absolutely gorgeous.
What'd you do out there?
We spent some time with the kids. We had a family reunion. We had our two girls and our son and the grandkids. Our son is from McHenry, Illinois, and they flew down. It's just absolutely wonderful time.
God, you did it right. That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you driving back now?
No, I'm not. My wife is. She took her pills.
I don't remember asking about any pills. But you're in the vehicle right now?
I'm a passenger with seatbelted.
Okay. No, I'm not real checking up on
your
seatbelt. This is not a stop. This is not a stop.
I'm in an upright position.
Yes, it's not a stop. It's not a traffic stop. I'm simply making conversation. And so, looking out the window right now, what are you seeing, Tom?
Exit 207 Black Swamp Road.
Okay. Cool. Tom, out of 10 people, how many are late at least once a week?
I want to just take a wild shot in the dark and say 4.
That's pretty high.
Give or take 6 or 3.
That's pretty high, though, Tom.
I meant to say 1, but...
Did you?
Or 2.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you really mean to say 1?
I was distracted by the off-ramp.
All right. If you really meant to say 1, okay. Did you, though, really?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah. Dina Marie, right?
Dina Marie.
Dina Marie, Tom.
Nice to meet you. I actually had a patient I had a patient from North Carolina yesterday who kept calling me ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
People from the South, okay. Of course, when they call me ma'am, I don't like it. But it's very polite. If they would get my gender right, I wouldn't mind so much. Okay, Tom and Dina Marie, you two are a team right now. You cooperate and you use all your magic skills together. And what categories do we have, Sarah?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Tom?
Let's go with people.
People. Okay. 24%, 30%, or 90% of people 25 to 34 live with their parents? I left out still.
33%.
Yeah. What? 24?
I would definitely rule out 90.
90's out, so it's between 24 and 30?
I'm going to go with 24. It sounds
24?
Tom, how do you feel about 24?
I'm going to go with 24 as well.
24 is right, yes, okay.
One right and zero wrong.
All right, so you can get one more right here. They'll win the quiz.
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Dina Marie.
Things you should have learned in school.
There it is. Monkeys, better or worse at math than we thought?
What did we think?
I don't know. It's just the question here. I wrote this many moons ago. Monkeys, better or worse at math than we thought. Than one thought, I guess we could say.
Worse?
Talk it over.
What do you guys, what do you think?
She says worse, Tom. Why would I ask a question if it was worse, though? Well, think about it. Monkeys are worse at math than we thought? What kind of question is that, then? That's a lousy question.
I mean, we think monkeys are supposed to be very similar to humans, and humans are pretty good at math, so
yeah,
maybe they're better.
So better than we thought?
I'll go with the doc.
Yes, that's it. Congratulations. Holy cow. You won the What Do You Know quiz, abbreviated.
Dina Marie.
get that girl fired up with a bag of Kickapoo John's lump charcoal made in Gay Mills, Wisconsin, using local wood with no additives, coal, chemicals, petroleum products, or binders. Tom, if you didn't know that the sun has about 330,000 times the mass of Earth, you will after reading Glad You Asked, Intriguing Names, Facts, and Ideas for the Curious Minded by Michael Feldman from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. And you can also, both of you, listen to Intriguing Nocturnes, Ballade, Mazurkas, and more on the CD What Do You Know About Chopin with a George Sand channeled liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks, Doc.
Nice to meet you. Thanks.
Nice to have you here. Tom, hang on, make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
And all of you listening in Ohio, remember, What Do You Know will be in town on Saturday, August 2nd. It's coming up for a special broadcast on the Otterbein campus in Westerville.
Otterbein!
The show will feature Lydia Lovelace, Coyote Peterson, and much more. Ticket information is available by calling the box office at 614-823-1109 or just go to notmuch.com.
Yeah. Hey, I want to thank you all for coming here today. Don't be a stranger. You know where it is now. You can come back. Just bring quarters. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening at home. Talk to you again next week.
Planning your next Madison outing? Bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing information and get your tickets today. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert. So long, Martin. Have fun in Chicago.
Sarah Nick, boys in the band. Thank you all.
RI, Public Radio International.